Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The state announced another two COVID-19 deaths yesterday. The State Department of Health and Social Services identified the new fatalities as an Anchorage woman in her 70s and an Anchorage man in his 80s. Alaska's known pandemic-long death toll is now 374. There were four new COVID hospitalizations statewide Friday through Sunday, with 44 virus-confirmed patients and one additional suspected case in Alaska hospitals. Six patients were on ventilators. The state is experiencing an increase in COVID-19 cases and announced the identification of 174 new cases July 9th through the 11th. 159 were Alaska residents. 72 of the new cases were in Anchorage. In the interior, Fairbanks had four, while North Pole and the Yukon-Koyukuk census area each had one new case. The YK Delta and northern southeast regions have the highest case rates in the state, despite also sharing the second highest vaccination rate statewide. There were also 15 new non-resident cases, including four in Fairbanks and one in Healy. Alaskans will elect candidates using a new voting system starting in the next statewide election. Alaska Public Media reports it will lessen the power of political parties. And yesterday, Superior Court Judge Gregory Miller heard arguments in a lawsuit that's trying to stop the new system from taking effect. Attorney Ken Jacobus is one of the people who filed the legal challenge.
This act would get rid of the party primary system, and political parties would no longer select their candidates to appear on the general election ballot. That's a big problem.
Jacobus, a Republican who has worked for the state party, is joined in the lawsuit by libertarian political operative Scott Kohlhaas and Alaska Independence Party chair Robert Byrd. When Alaska voters adopted ballot measure 2 last year, most of the attention was on the system of ranked choice voting it creates. But ranked choice is only for the general election. The initiative also opens the primary to all candidates, regardless of party. Voters select one favorite, and the top four vote-getters advance to the general election. Jacobus says the new system deprives party members of their right to help select their party's nominee. One of Jacobus' objections is that it allows candidates to adopt any party label they want.
If I were a communist running in Alaska, I would say I was a conservative Republican, because that would get me the votes.
Assistant Attorney General Margaret Payton Walsh defended the new voting system, saying the Constitution doesn't force the state to run primaries that help parties select their candidates. She also says ballot measure 2 leaves parties free to influence elections in other ways.
Parties can select their own nominees, back their own nominees, endorse candidates, provide campaign support for their own candidates. They are not required to do anything by ballot measure 2. And therefore, there is no forcing of candidates upon the political parties.
Judge Miller indicated he would issue a decision soon. A Tok man was killed in an ATV accident. Alaska State Troopers report that 41-year-old Raymond Elsner was riding on an ATV path paralleling a road just outside Tok and crashed near an intersection. Troopers say they were notified about the accident after 3 a.m. yesterday and that responding troopers and EMS personnel found Elsner dead. They say yaw marks indicate Elsner was swerving for about 200 feet before losing control and flipping the ATV. Elsner was not wearing a helmet, and alcohol is believed to be a factor in the crash. Next of kin has been notified, and Elsner's body is being transported to the state medical examiner. The body of a Fort Yukon man who went missing in the Yukon River last month has been found. State troopers report that the remains of 42-year-old Samson Peter III were located 40 miles downriver of the community near the mouth of Lower Birch Creek on Sunday. On June 25th, Peter was a passenger in a boat that hit a sandbar, throwing him into the river near Fort Yukon. Community members spent 3 weeks looking for Peter. Wellness courts are reducing recidivism for crimes involving alcohol and drugs. Fairbanks Wellness Court started in 2007 with the idea that suspects could change their behavior. And as KUAC's Robin reports, the approach is working.
Superior Court Judge Brent Bennett oversees a caseload of about 30 people in two therapeutic courts in Fairbanks. Called diversion courts, people convicted of drug or alcohol crimes work on overcoming addiction in an 18-month-long program instead of going to jail.
A big part of why I'm interested in working with the therapeutic courts is we've tried this system of criminal justice, and people just keep coming back.
The recidivism rate for people convicted of drug or alcohol crimes, then sent to jail, is normally about 50%. The model for the Fairbanks Wellness Court focuses on addiction treatment rather than criminal punishment.
So this is an opportunity to try something different that helps folks rehabilitate in a way that they're not going to recidivate, which benefits them, benefits their families, but also benefits the community.
Bennett works with Amy Bollert, who is the project coordinator for Fairbanks' wellness courts. She says since the DUI court and the drug court launched in Fairbanks, 156 people have graduated from the program, and very few have committed crimes again.
Just solely based on Fairbanks, our recidivism usually averages between 5 to 7%.
The program runs about a year and a half and requires participants to confront their substance abuse. They must provide random urine analysis, get jobs, and proceed through drug and alcohol counseling. The Fairbanks Therapeutic Courts contract with Pacific Rim Counseling for intensive outpatient treatment. But, as Bollert says, some people need more than that, and there is regularly a shortage of inpatient treatment available in Fairbanks, and it's hard to get into most treatment programs, inpatient or outpatient.
The wait lists, that's another barrier that we have.
But Bennett says there is a wealth of other kinds of support services. The therapeutic court is working with The Bridge, a local reentry program, to provide wraparound services, those other support services that fill in the gaps. And he says it's easy to find support among peers.
We also have an incredible amount of recovery meetings that are available, broad gamut of recovery meetings that aren't necessarily religious-based, and those are available online at this point as well.
Alaska has 14 therapeutic courts statewide. 8 focus on cases where there's a clear link between crimes committed and addiction. 3 work primarily with defendants with mental health issues. 2 work with families involved with child in need of aid cases, and Anchorage has a veterans court. Fairbanks, too, is working on launching a veterans court that could cater to the special mental health needs of the area's huge veterans population. And the state is looking to collaborate with Tanana Chiefs Conference to set up a healing court. Those projects are still in the planning stages, but everyone recognizes the need. Bennett says in addition to preventing repeat crime, the program is life-changing.
By and large, everyone who's finishing this program can tell you at the end, I'm doing this for me now. I'm doing this because it feels good to be sober. It feels good to be somebody who can be relied upon. It feels good to be responsible.
In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
And I'm Dan Bross.